Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2016. In the world of Zika, there's been some new developments. We have some more clarity with some of the sequences, and there's been some other developments in the mosquitoes and in some of the testing. So for more on this, we go to Dr. Henry Nyman. Dr. Nyman, welcome back.
Good to be back, Ryan, and I thought it'd be useful to do this update. The major piece of news that came out was the, as I've mentioned before, the sequences that are appearing are done at in the Anderson Lab at Scripps Clinic, and they basically have collaborations both with the Florida Department of Health as well as the Agriculture Department getting the mosquitoes. And so they're getting the human samples from the local cases as well as the mosquito samples. And just as a reminder, they have already made 5 sequences public. There were 2 human cases as well as the first 3 batches of mosquitoes. And those have been published or released at T-Day, so they're publicly available. But what's of more interest as far as being current on exactly what's going on is that they're putting sequences up at their website prior to submitting them to GeneBank. And at that website, they've actually done the other 2 batches of mosquitoes, so they really have 5 mosquito sequences. And as you mentioned, the 6th was just announced this weekend. So theoretically, they'll get the sample from the 6th positive mosquito and be able to generate that sequence and get it up fairly quickly. They seem to have a very high success rate on the mosquitoes. As we mentioned earlier, the precise locations for each of these mosquitoes has been released by the mayor's office in Miami, and that way you can see the sequences and see exactly where those sequences were in the mosquitoes. And the sequences actually fall out. So the first 2 batches of mosquitoes sequence-wise are closely related to each other, and most of the sequences from the human cases. Whereas the 3 most recent batches prior to the one announced this morning or this weekend were from another group. Those were the ZM3, 4, and 5. And they match one of the cases that has led to the generation of the sequences. But prior to this weekend, it wasn't exactly clear where the human cases were. They generally were described as being from Miami or being from South Florida, but there was no detail. And so they, I'm not sure if they added a column or they just added more detail to the column, which is the location of the sample. And when they did that, it indicated that most of the human sequences are from Miami-Dade County, which was expected based upon the collection days. Most of these sequences were collected in the beginning of August or at the middle of July. So these are some of the earliest sequences. And it's not 100% clear because getting the sequences from the human samples is not at 100%. So there's some cases that have been reported that are PCR confirmed, but there wasn't enough viral RNA in the sample to actually generate a full sequence. And they really have been releasing partial sequences. I don't know if they've got partial sequences, but generally they've been doing full sequences or very near full sequences with the anticipation that they will end up getting the full sequence from the samples that they have acquired. And so assigning them has been a little bit little bit guesswork until this weekend. And then this weekend, the notable data point was for the most recent sample, which was collected on August 17th, and that's listed as ZF39. The ZF stands for Zika, Florida. And they said that was from Pinellas County. Now, the finding, that sequence from Pinellas County is very significant. And that's because Department of Health did an investigation. They weren't able to pin down exactly where that person was infected. But media reports did indicate that the person lives in St. Petersburg, is actually a fireman that works in Tampa Bay. And I think it was firehouse number 2, but whatever it was easily identifiable. And so one's on the west side of the bay, the other's on the east side of the bay. But either event, the infected person had not traveled outside of those two counties. So exactly where in the Tampa Bay area he was infected is unknown, but the fact that the infection was local and it was in the Tampa Bay area, not in Miami, that was clear. And so when this sample, the ZF39, was labeled as being from Pinellas County, that gives you an idea of when the virus may have arrived in Florida. And the reason it gives you that information is the Tampa Bay area is over 200 miles northwest of the Miami area where the other sequences originated. And as I said, Miami Beach, the five mosquito sequences, you know, actually the precise resident or location of Botanical Gardens, where that mosquito trap was located that was Zika positive. And finding six positives is actually a lot. The Department of Health is saying they looked at over 2,000 batches and they only got six. But six is a very high number because it's relatively hard to get a positive in these traps because mosquitoes are quite small. And so there's going to be a limited amount of viral RNA in the sample. And most of the sequencing is done directly from the sample. It's not like they're getting the virus out and growing it. And so you need a fair amount of RNA to get a full sequence. And you even need a fair amount of RNA just to get a PCR positive. And so when I say six batches are positive, that means that there was enough RNA in that batch, which are anywhere from 15 to 30 mosquitoes, to be able to pick up that test because they just grind up all the mosquitoes in a given batch. And so as a result, those negatives, those 2,000 that are negative, some of those might actually have infected mosquitoes. But if there's only one infected mosquito in the batch, or if that mosquito has a lower level of RNA, it still may come out negative. And so the six positives may actually have a cutoff that has 2, 3, or 4, or 5 mosquitoes that were positive, and as a group, they contained enough RNA so you could detect it by PCR and subsequently get a sequence. So it's fairly unusual to get positives on mosquitoes. As far as the Americas are concerned, the only other mosquitoes that have tested positive and generated sequence data that's public anyway is actually from Mexico. So even though this outbreak was very extensive in Brazil, there are no Brazil mosquito sequences. And in fact, there are no sequences from any mosquitoes other than either 2 or 3 sequences that are out of Mexico. So to have 5 sequences and likely a sixth on the way, is an indication that there's a very high concentration of the virus. And so far, the first five sequences, even though they fall into two groups, all were from South Beach. So the sixth sequence, where there's no sequence available yet, came from Middle Beach, and whether that's going to match the other five, which, as I said, fall into two groups, is to be seen. But the point of the data that is available, in addition to the five mosquito sequences, I think there's 11 human sequences, and all 16 of those sequences, the mosquitoes and the humans, all fall into the same well-defined subclade. And that well-defined subclade is, it's really for the full sequences, there are only two examples of it in the current database, the public database. One is from a visitor from England that went to Guadalupe, and the other is from a visitor from Italy that went to the Dominican Republic. So there's two matches in the database to fall into this subclade as far as full sequences are concerned. Now, some of the sequence data that's public are just partial sequences, and there was a number of these shorter sequences that were in French Guiana, and three of the French Guiana sequences, and this is about a quarter of the genome, this is the envelope gene, and the size is about 20, I think, 300 base pairs as opposed to the full sequences, which is 10,000. Three of these sequences do fall into this subclade. And in fact, one of those sequences, 05211 from French Guiana, is identical to this ZF39 sequence. But the main point of the ZF39 is, like all the other sequences, it falls into this general subclade that falls into three separate groups. And the key question is, did it fall into three separate groups because there were three different introductions into Florida, or did it fall into three separate groups because there was one introduction a while ago, and it evolved into these three groups? And so the fact that the sequence that came from Pinellas County, 200 miles away, is still in the same general subclade is a concern, because it would suggest that that this introduction spread fairly widely in Florida. If there was a single introduction, and it would have come from a while ago, and it's not only in Miami-Dade County, but it's also in Pinellas County, and almost certainly it's in Broward County. None of these sequences apparently are from Broward County. They're all from Miami-Dade, with the exception of this one sample that's from Pinellas. So, you know, I anticipate that more sequences will be released. The rate of detection has gone up very dramatically in the last week alone. There have been something like 25 local cases. I think it's a little more than that, but it's a lot of cases for 1 week. And included in that total is five individuals who were visiting, and these are exports. The exports this week, Connecticut announced that one of their cases actually was infected in Miami, Florida, a couple of the cases from Texas, one in Tarrant County and the other in El Paso County. Both are tourists that had been infected in Miami. The New Taipei City case that was announced, right around the time this the El Paso case was also in Miami. And the number of these exports, which are people that came to Florida, got infected, and in most cases returned home. And as soon as they returned home, they had symptoms and in part because they had come from Miami, they were tested and they were found to be positive. And so the number of these tourists or non-residents, some of them had been around, but in any event, they don't live in Florida. They just were in Florida briefly and got affected. There's now 15 of those. And 15 exports is a very high number. That is an indication that the virus is quite widespread because tourists are typically, exposed for a relatively short time period. They don't live there. They come there for a week or two, and they return home. And if they get infected in that short time period, that would indicate that there's a lot of local cases per tourist because of the local are there in greater. There are more local people in a given area than there are tourists, and those local people are not there for just a week or two. They're there before and after that infection took place. And so there would be a lot of those local cases. And there's a number of these local cases now up to around 130. So these numbers are going up fairly dramatically, also supporting a widespread infections. Now, unfortunately, the number of identified areas is still only three. There was Wynwood, and then there was South Beach, and then there was Middle Beach in Miami Beach. And all three of them were identified passively. They were not identified because of an investigation. They, in fact, were identified because two or more people went to doctors, and the doctors basically notified the Department of Health, and the Department of Health looked at where these people were. In the case of Wynwood, they were two people that worked within 450 feet of each other, even though one lived in Broward County and the other lived in Miami-Dade. And by the same token, the first outbreak in Miami Beach and South Beach, there were actually five cases, three of which were non-residents. There was the one in Taipei City, there was the one in El Paso, Texas, and this one from New York. And so that was another example where they just got multiple cases that were identified, A, as being local, and B, as being in an area that was within 1 square mile. So within a one square mile area, they had, three cases in South Beach from non-residents as well as two residents. So they had five. And then for Middle Beach, apparently, they got a positive who was at a party or actually was the site of the party. And then shortly thereafter, there were four more people at the same party. And so there again, they had five people that weren't identified apparently because they were investigating the first and found the other five. Although that's not 100% clear exactly how they came up with the five, but all five were announced at the same time. So it wasn't that one was announced, and they said they were going to do an investigation, and then they said, the results of the investigation yielded four positives. They just announced all five at the same time, suggesting that the five really weren't part of an investigation. They just happened to be people that got tested because they had symptoms, and then when the Department of Health received the notification from individual doctors or when they received samples from individual doctors, and it's not clear whether they were done with private labs or they were just sent to the health department for testing. But in any event, those are distinct from the active investigation cases where they have a single case and then they try to figure out exactly where that person was infected. And logically that person may have been infected at their residence, or they may have been infected at their workplace. They may have been infected at going to a restaurant, an outdoor, they may have been infected getting out of their car anywhere. So pinning it down is a little bit of a challenge depending upon what the travel history of that person was in the days before they developed symptoms. But it's been a major problem for the Department of Health because they haven't identified any clusters in active investigation areas through that investigation approach. And they've been listing the cases and the number of cases that are being tested. And that just looks abysmal. It looks like, they have 10 active investigations and they got a grand total of one sample. It's not one sample from each of the 10 investigations. They've got a total of one sample from all 10 investigations, as in not really investigating because they're not collecting any samples to test. And then they're using this absence of subsequent cases to say that, transmission has been stopped. There's no new cases, but the no new cases is because there's been no new testing. And that's a bit of a problem. And then it's compounded because they're actually listing positives. So they're testing very few, and they're not all negative. Some are positive. And it would seem that would indicate that those are new areas of active transmission. So if they have one case and then they gather other samples from contacts of that case or from nearby residents or workers for that case, and they get positives from those people, then that would define exactly where the initial case was infected as well as where the other subsequent cases were infected. And there would be another area that was identified and released by, as a map of that area and where the warning is. And they would collect more samples within that area to find out whether other contacts or even other residents that lived in the area or if it's a workplace, other customers visited the area, whether they were positive. And so the active investigation part seems to be absent. And as a result, the number of locations where there's known transmission are still limited to three because they really don't know where these local cases have been affected. But just as a summary, the breaking news, if you will, is that the case in Pinellas County has been identified as ZF-39. And that sequence does fall into the same general subclade that all of the other cases and local mosquitoes have generated by putting these all in the phylogenetic tree. So that's wrapping things up.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Nyman, for the information. Listeners, be reminded to go to our website, ibricomnomics.co, to see all the latest information on Zika and other diseases. Everyone, thank you. Have a good day.